From NPR News, this is News and Notes. I'm Farai Chidea. Right now, the country and the world is discussing whether America will elect its first black president. But some people believe the event has already happened. Over time, rumor mongers and amateur historians have claimed that Andrew Jackson, Thomas Jefferson, Warren Harding, Dwight Eisenhower, Calvin Coolidge, and Abraham Lincoln had black blood. No one's been able to prove any of this, but today we'll look at why these claims exist and persist. What does this conversation tell us about America's racial attitudes, culture, and history, and what would it really take to examine the rumors to see if they're true? With us today, Beverly Gage, an assistant professor of history at Yale University, and Edward Ball. He's the author of several books, including the award-winning Slaves in the Family. His latest book is The Genetic Strand, Exploring a Family History Through DNA. Welcome to you both.
Hi.
So, Beverly, let me start with you. You wrote in the New York Times Magazine about Warren Harding and the rumors that he had black ancestors. So if that were true, prevailing racial views would have defined him as black. So tell us a little bit more about what people were saying at the time and why.
Absolutely. Warren Harding, really, even before he ran for president, from the moment that he entered political office, in local Ohio politics, was dogged by rumors that he had black ancestors. And the rumors varied. Some of the rumors focused on the idea that his great-grandmother had been a fugitive slave or had been black. Others focused on his father. Others focused on other members of the family. But the rumors themselves were fairly persistent, and they were fairly widely accepted, especially among Harding's opponents, but even according to rumor, among the communities that Harding lived in as a young man. And there's a suggestion, in fact, that Harding's whole family was understood to be black but passing in the small communities where they grew up. And so when Harding became president, as he was campaigning for president in 1920, these rumors reached a sort of fever pitch, and they were laid out in particular by a historian named William Estabrook Chancellor, who wrote what is now a fairly notorious and extremely hard-to-find book about these allegations about Harding's mixed-race ancestry.
Now, so much of this has to do with whether people see blackness as a negative in general or a political negative. Just in the 2000 presidential campaign, people started a whisper campaign claiming that Senator John McCain had an illegitimate black child. They were talking about his daughter, who's Bangladeshi by birth, and he and his wife adopted her. And so that gives a sense of kind of how these issues even persist today. But let's go back to Warren Harding's era. If people at that time proved that he was part black, how would it have affected his political career and his social standing?
Right. Well, certainly the one-drop rule was in effect. And one of the reasons that these rumors were kept alive and one of the reasons that this Professor Chancellor wrote his book was that they hoped that even the merest suggestion of having, quote-unquote, Negro blood in him would invalidate the Harding presidency. There were actually, interestingly, suggestions that that Republicans, and Harding was a Republican, Republicans were then the party of civil rights, the party of Lincoln still, and there were actually a few suggestions that it was actually the Republicans who were spreading these rumors in order to take advantage of the black vote in the North, because you'd had a big movement of African Americans from the South to northern cities during the First World War. But by far, the greater emphasis was on how much damage this could do to Harding's candidacy. And in fact, Harding himself hit back pretty hard against those who raised these rumors and against Chancellor in particular. Chancellor ended up being run out of the country, forced up to Canada, and most of the copies of his book were destroyed, many of them burned. And so they're very hard to find now, but that was the context. And the other thing I think that's important to remember at this moment in the teens and the 20s was that this was really the height of post-Civil War racial violence. You had Jim Crow being instituted in the South and being often enforced through violence. The Klan is on the rise by 1915, certainly into the 1920s. One of the interesting things about the Harding presidency, you know, if we want to think, was he actually our first black president, is that it was also the heyday of the second rise of the Ku Klux Klan in the early 20s. So really pretty vicious racial politics shaping all of these issues.
Edward, let me turn to you. Now, you're research on racial mixing among your own ancestors helped shape a public debate on how race connects us, and Slaves in the Family showed these secret connections between blacks and whites in your own family. But on the issue of President Harding, there's a often repeated but not verified story that a friend asked him whether he was part black, and President Harding reportedly said, "How do I know, Jim? One of my ancestors might have jumped the fence." So when you think about this whole idea of jumping the fence or passing for white, how common was that?
It was probably less common than people would say today. I think that it might have involved 50,000 African Americans over a period of 1900 to 1930 who crossed the line and lived white. That was an option, especially as Jim Crow became more ferocious. People would leave the South as black people and end up in New York or Chicago and begin to live white and pass themselves as Italian Americans or Greek Americans. And that was something that black families back home, back in the South, respected by and large, and allowed their brothers and cousins to maintain.
Well, let's talk about another historical example. Thomas Jefferson had children with his slave, Sally Hemings, and many historians refused to believe that these rumors were true until DNA proved it true. Your new book is about race, family, and genetics. So do you think that genetics, it's highly unlikely that someone's going to dig up Warren Harding, but if there were the chance to exhume some of these past presidents, do you think that genetic testing would be one way of trying to establish whose ancestry was what?
Yes, it would be possible to do that. You can extract DNA from bone fragments, assuming they survived, and also from hair, which survives almost as long as bones. Bone is porous, which means it sucks in the sweat from people touching it, which contains DNA, so you have to be careful about contamination. You would put the bone through an extraction process, and some labs specialized in so-called ancient DNA, and then you would look for markers on the DNA associated with West African populations. Different data exists and different markers that signal genes that traveled from their root continent, in this case Africa, and you may get just bits of the DNA molecule, and you would look in those bits and hope that the markers that you want are on those bits. This is this was done successfully in the case of the family of the Russian Tsar, Nicholas II, who was killed by the Bolsheviks in 1919, and whose family, the bones of which were exhumed in the 1990s and tested for DNA comparison with distant relatives in the UK, and geneticists were able to confirm that the remains were then what they were purported to be.
Beverly, let me turn back to you. Your article is not the first work to raise these questions. It's been written up in Afrocentric history books, including a 1965 book by J.A. Rogers called The Five Negro Presidents. There's a similar book called Six Black Presidents, Black Blood, White Masks. So why would these authors want to claim white presidents as their own?
Right. Well, this is a great question. I mean, one of the really interesting things is just how long these rumors have persisted. And what's particularly interesting in Harding's case is, why anyone would necessarily want to claim Warren Harding in particular, who is usually on our pretty low down on the list of presidential rankings. But I think more broadly, it raises this question of kind of a pride or an inclusion question. And I think it's sort of an open question. What is at stake by claiming someone like Harding as black? I think in the most basic way, it is a suggestion that, first of all, we don't yet know the truth about race in America, either today necessarily, or certainly we haven't fully come to terms with all of the truth about our racial past. One of the things that's most interesting is why we don't know this, right? Why it's been so difficult to ferret out this truth. And then as well, I think, to claim someone like Harding as black, or to even raise the possibility that he might have been, just suggests that You know, black people are not kind of the great exception in American history, American political history, but have been part of everything from the presidency on. And so I think that's part of the impulse anyway.
Ed, when you think about the impact that your work has had in terms of contextualizing the connections between blacks and whites in America, what do you think of this whole debate and why people are interested in it, you know, in terms of the presidency and blackness and whiteness?
Well, as you know, people are perennially fascinated by interracial sex, and which has its roots in and forced sexual relationships on the plantations during the slave days. And this this kind of electricity, the electricity around this subject seems to persist right down to the present. And this the business about Harding is, I think, another manifestation of it. But what Beverly says about the community being the source of the rumors and possibly authenticating them based upon their source in the towns where Harding grew up is pretty right on. For example, in South Carolina, black people in the state knew about Strom Thurmond's black daughter for 50 years. And when she finally stepped forward, the only people that were surprised were those in the white community, because most black South Carolinians knew all about it. There's another way to try to authenticate or check the rumor, which was used in the Sally Hemings case, and that would be to test the male descendants of Harding's grandfather, who I think was one of the people who was said to look black, to test the white and black descendants if they're willing to do so.
You know, we have to stop, but that would be an interesting thing. If there are any Warren Harding relatives out there who would like to come on the show and provide some DNA, we are here and waiting. Beverly and Ed, have to let you go. Thank you so much. Beverly Gage, Assistant Professor of History at Yale University, and author Edward Ball, Slaves in the Family and the Genetic Strand.